Birdsall.
Good morning, may it please the court. My name is John Birdsall. I represent Michael Irvin on this appeal from a Rule 35 resentencing. As an initial matter, my argument is basically two-pronged. One revolves around Brady versus Maryland and the duty of the government to disclose and to hand over to the defense exculpatory material as to punishment, and that is reviewed de novo. That's a question of law. The other is as to the trial court's determination and their application of the guidelines under 5K1.1, and there's two possible reviews in that one, whether or not they applied guidelines properly, which would be reviewed de novo, and the second is whether or not their lack of exercising any discretion amounted to an abuse of discretion, which of course is reviewed for plain error. The most important issue in this resentencing is Brady. As this court well knows, this basic black letter law almost, that Brady stands for the proposition that the defense, upon request, is entitled to any information which would tend to exculpate a defendant or tend to affect his sentencing, his punishment.
Where does it say that?
It says it in Brady at page 88.
Read it to me.
Certainly. There's two applicable quotations here. We now hold, and this is on page 87 of the decision, we now hold that the suppression by the prosecution of evidence favorable to an accused upon request violates due process where the evidence is material either to guilt or to punishment, irrespective
okay,
of the good
ahead,
faith
go
or bad faith of the prosecution.
Good, thank you.
And that's where this case really, that's where this is the heart of this appeal. That is, Mr. Irvin was arrested, he's indicted, and he cooperates. The government admits at the original sentencing in 1998,
did the judge have the material before him?
I'm sorry?
Did the judge have the material you sought before him?
No, he did not.
Did you ask the judge to make an independent analysis of the level of cooperation by the other defendants,
yes,
to whom you wanted to compare your...
Yes, I did, and I should note that I did not represent Mr. Irvin at the original sentencing. I just was appointed to represent him on the Rule 35. So, in answer to
your question... That's where the sentencing occurred, the resentencing occurred.
The resentencing is correct. I was referring just before to the original sentencing. The answer to your question is yes, I did. I made a very specific request to the trial court to have information, and I was not seeking the whole file as to the other cooperators, but the government admitted at the resentencing that the process by which they determine the level of reduction, the level that they're going to propose to the court, the process by which they determine that is an internal function of the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they conduct exactly
but
that.
But it's a matter of public record once a departure motion is made by the government, a reduced sentence ordered, so you would know what sentences other cooperators had received.
We would know what they received. We don't know how they arrived at that decision. And the only way that we can compare, as the government did here, in their, you know, their internal secret review committee, the only way that I can argue to the court, or the court can actually conduct their own analysis, is to actually see the statements by the other cooperators, the perhaps grand jury testimony, or you know, anything else that would shed light on why these other co-defendants were entitled to greater reductions. And my argument is that I need, from a defense perspective, I need to be able to tell the court, judge, this defendant is worthy of more than three levels, and here's why. And I have a duty, and I think any defense counsel would, to seek these materials, especially when your client is insistent that he was worthy of more because he knew all these other people, and he knew that he had provided substantial and expansive information about them. So I first made the request to the government, and the government refused. And that suppression is where Brady comes in. They purposely and consistently refused to do it. They made it clear at the original sentencing in 1998 that they were going to conduct exactly this analysis, and and that's why they didn't do a 5K1.1 at the original sentencing, and they said that. They then came to this sentencing,
You don't know. Why did they proceed with sentencing? They could have waited a month, I guess, and we wouldn't have the Rule 35. Why didn't they delay? Why wasn't sentencing delayed until it became apparent whether or not he would testify or whatever other cooperation they wanted?
In page 4 of my brief, and I'm referring now to the sentencing, first sentencing transcript on page 22, the government's lawyer at that time, as far as I know, Mr. Irvin's cooperation is still being considered. And
well, I know. They said they'd come back with a Rule 35. I mean, I understand that, but why didn't they just wait, delay the whole sentencing instead of going forward at that time?
I can't
speak
for...
We'll ask the other side.
I can't speak for why they did that. So that's the essence of... am I getting into my rebuttal time now?
Mm-hmm. You can if you want, but you're eating into it. If you can stop now and come back.
I'm going to reserve the rest of this for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bertrand?
Good morning. My name is Joy Bertrand. May it please the court, my name is Joy Bertrand.
And you know why they delayed the sentencing was not delayed until cooperation was determined?
Your Honor, my understanding of the Slocum investigation, to which I was not assigned, but my understanding is that I think they were waiting for the investigation and the litigation to be completed. And I do not know why. There's no indication in the file that I received as to why they did not delay Mr. Irvin's sentencing. I would note, however, I don't believe there's any motions on the record for that delay.
Just a question.
Thank you. As to the two separate issues here, the discovery issue first, and then the district court's determination at the resentencing, the government maintains that the issue here is whether or not the reports regarding the other co-actors and their the other cooperators in the Slocum case would have been available to the defendant is that the government asserts that it's not material. It would not be material to the defendant.
But didn't the government indicate that that's how they were going to determine their recommendation with regard to this defendant, based on the other defendant?
I know that Mr. Cantor stated at the original sentencing that the government was still determining how Mr. Irvin's cooperation kind of fell into the whole Slocum investigation, the whole gestalt of it. I don't think he was making a promise that the government would engage necessarily in this entire balancing act. And Ms. Jacobs, in the resentencing, notes that this evaluation goes far beyond simply the comparison of cooperators. It also has to do with the comparison of this testimony with the other evidence at issue. So you're looking at audio recordings, hand-to-hand transactions, statements by the defendants, etc. It's not as simple as saying you're just going to compare one cooperator to another.
Well, there were some I suppose statements by the assistant U.S. attorney at the time saying they'll know when the full extent of the cooperation can be made known and can be analyzed and ruled upon. And his cooperation in a more significant sense, obviously I'm referring to testimony, may well be called upon at a future point in time, the context of those cases.
Right. I don't think that necessarily implies, Your Honor, a comparative evaluation between the co-actors.
Well, then he talks about this committee, the government explained that then tries to, quote, compare this defendant to all other defendants that are receiving 5K motions to determine, for example, in this case, is a three-level downward departure consistent with the other defendants whose cooperation is one of the same extent or of usefulness or that sort of thing.
Sure.
Doesn't that sound like it?
I don't think it, not in the way that the defendant has interpreted it, in that prosecutors naturally compare the extent of cooperation with defendants. However, he wasn't limiting it to just the extent of cooperation and how this cooperator performed in the Slocum case. It was more how the U.S. Attorney's Office evaluates cooperation in a general sense, looking at did they testify before the grand jury, did they work out on the street, making controlled buys, etc. It's not just about within that case, and I don't think, in my understanding of the litigation, both at the sentencing hearing first and then the second sentencing, that was ever the government's intention. Furthermore, that doesn't deny the defendant the opportunity to set forth his position as to what his reduction should be under 5K. The government maintains that the evidence that he wanted to receive with regards to other cooperators is not relevant. It does not have to do with the nature, and I think that's where the defendant is trying to play this issue, the nature and extent of the cooperation, but that's not really what's at issue under 5K. The issue is grand jury testimony before a jury trial, that kind of thing. Not this limited issue as the defendant sets forth. The next issue that the government has concern about is the district court's finding. The government would ask that this court affirm the district court's decision in granting the defendant a three-level offense decrease at the second sentencing. The reason is that the court made specific points about why it was making the determination that it did, noting the nature and extent of the defendant's cooperation, the usefulness of it, the timeliness of it, the truthfulness of it, and the chance that there was any injury presented to the defendant. The defendant had made an issue of the injury question at sentencing, and the court specifically found, you know, there's really nothing on the record that shows this defendant has been injured or threatened because of his cooperation with this investigation. In fact, the court caught the defendant a significant break and said, not only am I giving you a three-level departure, I am also going to give you the low end of the guideline there. So the defendant ended up getting a 19-month reduction in his sentence. And the court made some specific findings regarding that, too, saying you're doing well in prison, as well as I guess you can do in prison, but you're doing well in prison. You're seeking to get educated, and I hope you continue this, and to encourage you, I'm going to give you this reduction down. That's significant because originally the court had given him the maximum of the offense guideline, when he was sentenced to 46 months. The policy issue that concerns the government here is that if the defendant's logic is followed, then any time the court adopts the government's reason and request with one of these 5K motions, the court is then per se buying the government's version without any discretion, and I don't find that to be the case in my practice or in this record. And in this case, what the defendant's basically asking the court to do is reinvestigate these investigations, to weigh this piece of cooperation with all of the evidence of a case, and that's pretty tenuous. It would be extremely burdensome for the court and very dangerous in the sense of the government's concern mentioned before the district court about the safety of the other cooperators. Some of those cooperators are still working other investigations. Some of those cooperators are protected by protective orders. And I would note, I believe Judge Evans asked defense counsel, and I checked the record, I don't believe there was ever a request before the district court, and I stand to be corrected if I'm wrong, that there was a request for an in-camera review. But even then, the district court was very clear that he was not about to engage in this review of the Slocum investigation, which was considerable. The comparison I would make is, you know, look at other large investigations where we use numerous cooperators in the Eastern District. The two that come to mind for me are the Outlaws and the Latin Kings investigations, and then to ask the district court to go back and sift through all of that discovery to determine, first, whether or not the release of discovery, additional discovery, is relevant with regards to these other cooperators, and second, to ask the court to do that and then weigh all the factors seems a little unreasonable. Here, the government made its recommendation. The defendant was free to make a recommendation of his own, and the district court was clear that it would listen. In fact, the district court said, "You know, I'm known for not always following along with the government, and I'll listen to what you have to say." To then accept that the court did not use its discretion, I think, is incorrect. I think the court did listen. He listened very carefully to what defense counsel recommended for the defendant. He asked questions. He asked the government questions about those concerns, and then determined that a three-level reduction was appropriate. It just happened to be consistent with what the government recommended. With that...
It's amazing what the sentencing guidelines have brought.
Well, I will say, Your Honor, in the times I've been down here, I've often reflected that they were supposed to streamline litigation, and it seems that the primary reason I come down here is to talk about the sentencing guidelines. If the court does not have any other questions for me, I'd ask to be excused.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Birdsall, you have 2 minutes.
Your Honors, I think the government's trying to have it both ways. They argue that this evidence that I seek is not material, and yet it is exactly that they use to make their determination about what kind of recommendation they're going to make to the court.
See, the problem here is Judge Keeney's question capsulizes the whole problem with this case, is that all the power is in the prosecutor under the guidelines. It very, very, very few exceptions, you don't have a right to force the government to make a 5K1 departure motion. And be all said and done, they could say, it hasn't been significant enough, we're not going to make the motion. So here, in a case where you can't force them to make the motion, you want to go a step further and make them support or get into discovery to see if their recommendation of how far they want to go down is supportable. Now that's pretty tough to push that rock up the hill.
Well, it's true, it's there. It's their decision, however they arrive at it, to make that initial motion. It's also clear that this court has held that once that's made, in fact, this is pretty uniform in all the circuits, once that's made, it's up to the trial court to make their determination.
Definitely, the judge doesn't have to, as long as the judge tags his or her departure to the guidelines, it's not wedded to the recommendation that the government makes for two or three level, it could go more. The judge could have on his own decided, I want to really find out what happened in the Slocum case and all this sort of stuff, and if the government doesn't want to play ball, it could probably have gone lower. But you're asking for a right that you would have to get into all that discovery and find out what happened and weigh the cooperation of these other people. And that's
it was actually a little more limited in that I didn't want, like, their whole file. I didn't want to get into the wiretaps and the warrants and all that. I wanted grand jury testimony and statements, essentially. And of that, only of the people that got greater consideration than Mr. Irvin. And you're right, the court could have engaged in that, and I would argue that they should have engaged in that, because I think it's really explicit right in 5K1.1 that it is the court needs to make, while they're giving due deference to the government's analysis, they need to make an independent analysis, their own determination. That's clear not only in the statute itself, but in the background portion of 5K1.1. I see I'm out of time.
Thank you, Mr. Ritzel. Thank you for your argument today.